Good morning, friends. It's Friday here at Coast Community Radio. I'm your host, Jim Wilkins. After a bit of an absence to have some new body parts spliced into the old body, getting old, and so they put new body parts in. I'm waiting for a new brain, but I haven't heard much about that. I'm happy to have as my guest here today Cindy Price, who's a new member of the Astoria City Council, but is kind of an old hand around Astoria, particularly here at Coast Community Radio. She's been involved here for many, many years, which we appreciate. Cindy, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jim. And you look great. It's too bad we don't have a video camera in here. I'm real happy to see you.
Well, I appreciate that. I usually like to start out, Cindy, with, you know, a lot of people know who you are and your history, but not everybody does. So I wonder if you could start out with kind of a brief biographical sketch of Cindy Price.
Sure. Well, I moved to Astoria in 1996 after meeting my husband the year earlier at a dinner party in Los Angeles. My husband is Josh Marquis, the district attorney here. It seems to be sort of the way that I get introduced more often than not, although I'm very happy to have a city councilor attached to my name now and hope that that rises up above that now. Have had a career in foreign policy as a policy planning person, a strategic analyst. I've been in publishing for many years, and for the past couple of decades, especially since leaving Los Angeles, pretty much left the policy planning field after a while in foreign policy, and have been an editor of a number of books, all nonfiction, mostly oral histories. I work with one author who's a dear friend and who lives in Ventura, California now. And as you mentioned, I, about a week after moving here in September 96, Elizabeth Minitre had one of her programmer classes, and I came right away. And I've been involved with KMUN on many different levels ever since, and otherwise active in the community in various other ways.
Now, when you decided to run for the city council, you had an opponent, Marco Davis. And Marco, apparently because of some family considerations, had to withdraw from consideration, so that left you running unopposed.
Right. Actually, there were two opponents. Karen Malin, who was the incumbent, was on the ballot or on the list at the time as well, and both dropped out. And yes, so it was a brutal race, I have to tell you. I just barely squeaked through with, 80% of the vote or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, when I ran for city council, I also ran unopposed, which was economically very freeing because I didn't have to spend any money or make any phone calls or anything like that.
Well, I did. I didn't spend much money. It's true. I mean, you can really ratchet back on that. But I did. I walked the district, and I tried to spend a lot of time and take it very seriously and do everything I would have done otherwise, except spend a lot of money.
You know, Cindy, I just take a brief break here because I forgot in my introduction. I forgot to introduce Terry Wilson, our engineer par excellence, who works with us every Friday here. Terry, thank you for being with us, and apologize for not introducing you prior. Also, the Friday show was conceived originally by Lisa Smith, and we always mention her name. I'm trying to get her to come back on again, and always her husband, Buzz Bissinger, is always interesting to get here, but they're difficult to get booked. So.
Two of my favorite people, Terry Wilson and Lisa Smith.
Jim, Lisa is back on the radio. She's doing Morning Classics.
On Mondays. Subbing for Bob Westerberg while he's out trekking about. And she's going to sub for me on Wednesday Afternoon Music on March 25th. I won't be able to be here. And I've been subbing all month for Elizabeth, who's been out with a hip replacement as well. So, family here. Anyway.
Yeah, well, getting back to your new position on the city council, what motivated you to put yourself in such a vulnerable position?
I don't think of it as vulnerable at all. You know, I thought I did miss policy work, and it seemed like a good way to get involved. The city is just doing so many wonderful things, and really over just the past 8 to 10 years, I've been amazed at the transformations and the sorts of projects that it's getting involved in. It seems like it's really grown up in a lot of ways. And so that was my main interest. And I knew it would be interesting, but I didn't realize it would be so much fun and that I would really enjoy as much as I have enjoyed working with the council and with staff. So quite happy. There's really a lot going on. We've been very, very busy. As you know, Jim, from having been on the city council yourself, in the early months, there are so many orientations and trainings and just getting to know everyone and everything. It's been much busier than I thought it would be, but I'm really enjoying it. This afternoon, for instance, we are the whole city council, and I know that a public notice about this went out, since it will be a quorum, is taking a tour at 3 o'clock of the cemetery out at Ocean View. A few months ago, back at the end of last year, before I came on the city council, a couple of women came, and an elderly woman and her daughter, who was about my age, and they had this paper bag down at their feet under the chair, and they waded through quite a long city council meeting to get to public comment at the end, and got this paper bag out and brought out these two metal cylinders that look like, I don't know, army shells that had exploded, and put them on the table. And it turned out what they were the pop-up vases that are in the plaques in the ground at the cemetery. And there had been maintenance over the summer that a quite inexperienced or perhaps too gung-ho mowing team had been out there. And rather than doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is putting the vases down and making sure that's all, they just got on their mowers and ran around and ran over a lot of these things. And so with parks in general, over the years, there's just been a lot of deferred maintenance because 7 or 8 years ago, there were a number of cuts in the department, and they just haven't been able to gear up again. So we're going to look at the cemetery and talk about that more in advance of the budget hearings in March and April. I know that the Parks is going to be coming to us and asking for an additional maintenance worker so that they can get some of this backlog of work done at the parks, including at the cemetery.
Well, I think it's time to give kind of a little bit of a shout-out to former Mayor Willis Van Dusen, because you've now are in a position to continue a lot of the stuff that he started. He did a remarkable job, very charismatic man, and he did a good job for the city, but he's no longer with us. Now, how do you
see... Well, he's with us, but just not on the council.
Exactly. He's not out at Ocean View Cemetery.
No.
So how do you see continuing... on the council, some of the efforts that Willis pioneered?
Well, Willis was in office for 24 years, so the path has pretty much been marked for where we go. Although I must say, I'm very pleased, and I know a lot of my constituents are as well, that Mayor Lemire has been very open at diverging from some of those things. For instance, on the library, which we are now taking a much broader look at some other options, and on Heritage Square as well. We are at the March 16th meeting, we'll be looking at, I don't know if we'll be adopting, but we'll be at least airing at the city council meeting the adoption of some city council rules and procedures for the conduct of meetings. The city council has no rules whatsoever, and Mayor Lemire really wanted to have some of those in place, and almost all cities, as far as I know, do have some. So we took a look at some cities around the state and sort of adopted those and changed them to reflect our needs, and so that'll be good. One of the major things, I think, will be a real change, which many of my constituents have asked for, in the way that the agenda is set up at the meeting, so that we'll have public comment on off-agenda items at the beginning of the meeting rather than at the end. And then on each agenda item, public comment will be can be made before the council votes.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two big issues that have come up. And so, Mayor Lemire, she's a good cheerleader for the city, but not in the, Mayor Van Dusen hip, hip, hooray sort. Mayor Lemire is a librarian. She comes stocked with a vast knowledge of and quotes that she has. So I look forward really to more of an emphasis on education, and if she quotes somebody at the council or something, if she comes in with something, she can always say, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go to the library and look it up. It's really very different. If you haven't been to a city council meeting, you know, I even saw one of our regular city council watchers fall asleep at the last meeting because we're just kind of going about our business in a little bit less dramatic way than had been usual.
And so that's a good thing that he fell asleep?
I think so.
You know, one of the things that's getting a lot of attention right now is the inception of what's called enterprise zones. And I'm not really quite up to speed on that, so I'm going to ask you to enlighten me. But talk about enterprise zones, particularly in relationship to our interaction with the Port of Astoria.
Well, what's been proposed by County Manager, Scott Summers, is a consortium of the City of Warrenton, the Clatsop County, the Port of Astoria, and the City of Astoria to combine and make one large enterprise zone. An enterprise zone, the deadline for this year is April 10th. There might be a fall opening.
Now, what is an enterprise zone?
Well, an enterprise zone is an area in which, if you have the enterprise zone, a company that meets certain state minimum or local minimum requirements gets an abatement of its property taxes on new or enlargement of its facilities and equipment for a period of 3 years and possibly 4 to 5 years. The enterprise zone, if this one passes by all four, or if all four don't have to go in order to have the enterprise zone, Clatsop County could just go in for itself. The Port of Astoria needs the City of Astoria to approve the enterprise zone because much of the port's property is within the city limits, and if the city doesn't approve it, then it can't use it. So what would happen is a business comes, or the existing Acme Widget Company or Acme Beer Company wants to expand. It would go to CEDR, the Clatsop Economic Development Resources, will be the sort of governor of this zone, and applies. And if it meets just really basic eligibility in terms of a minimum investment, I'm not sure what that minimum investment is at this moment. I have been critical of these zones. First, because the City of Astoria accounts for such a high proportion of its general fund on property taxes, 65% to 70%, which is quite high. So I'm a little nervous, especially in a time when we're trying to rebuild staff and update systems, financial systems, and other kinds of things. We need our property taxes. So I've been reluctant. And then since then, I have to say, I have been very frustrated. It's been like pulling teeth to get just basic information on an enterprise zone. You know, how long do they last? It took me about a month to find out that, well, it's 11 years. And then you can ask for an extension. What are the minimum requirements? If we're a rural enterprise zone, I've been told that you can't add any local requirements or local incentives. But I haven't read that anywhere, so I'm still not sure. But anyway, 3-year abatement of the taxes, not on existing, but on the expansion part. And in exchange for that, you are to create a certain number of jobs, either 10% of what you currently have, or maybe just one additional. I agree. You know, another issue that I have is partnership with the port. Particularly because we haven't dotted the T's or the I's on what could be a very important contract that we're signing for this, something that could last 10 or even 20 years. With a port, we have a new director at the port, Jim Knight, who I've met a couple of times. He seems like a very thoughtful professional, and it's a delight to talk to him, and I think that there are already some changes at the port and will be some. But given the fact that the city's last interaction with the port just a few months ago was with the port coming to planning commission meetings and city council threatening to sue should the city of Astoria do anything to restrict any kind of development at the port in order to meet the new zoning codes that are coming up through the Riverfront Vision Plan, I'm a little reluctant to go forward until all the T's and I's have been fixed. So that's where we're at. It's coming up. We've had we've already talked about it at the council a couple of times. It's coming up for adoption at the next meeting on March 16th.
Well, I'd like to remind our listeners that it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio. I'm your host, Jim Wilkins, and we're having a really wonderful visit with Cindy Price. Cindy, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for asking me. And I did invite Mayor Lemire to join me, and she really wanted to, but she had a 9 o'clock meeting already scheduled with our city manager, Brett Estes, and so she apologizes for not being here. But I would like to remind people that Mayor Lemire has scheduled throughout the year, and you can find the schedule on the city's website. She has mayor's meetings once a month, the first Wednesday of every month, in the council chambers from noon to one, and invites the public to come in and ask questions or provide comments and ideas.
Now,
to her.
Commissioner Herzig does something like that, doesn't he?
He does that too every month. His next one is Saturday, March 28th from noon to 1:30 in the flag room of the library. And I've been doing them as well, although I'm having a hard time finding a March date. It looks like it'll be about the middle of April before I can have the next salonical, as I call them, a political salon.
Is that an actual word?
I made it up.
Well, what other challenges do you see, for yourself at least, on the council the next year or so?
There are a couple of things that there's a lot, you know, but two things I think. First is we had a goal setting session in late January, I believe. And the facilitator, who was the city manager from Albany, Oregon, had asked us to send him our top five priorities before the meeting so he could get a sense of what we were all interested in. And at the goal-setting session, he said, well, the thing that stuck out to me, everybody absolutely said what they were most interested in, number one priority, was strategic planning. But we haven't done that. We had work sessions on the library, on council rules, and I think the next one is going to be on Heritage Square development. All important issues, but there's a reluctance to go into strategic planning because Astoria does not have a strategic plan. And for me, as a person who comes from that background in particular, I'm quite interested in it because these issues of the library, Heritage Square, they're all basically development issues. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see them done all of a piece in the context of all of the other things that we do, even from the mundane of repairing sewers and to the big issues of where do we build anew and how do we do it. And so I would really like to get that done. I think it's going to be later in the year. And frankly, I haven't been pushing it because I think it's important that we get staffed up at the city first. You know, we've gone quite a few months now. Brett Estes, our city manager, has been wearing, I don't know how many, he's got more hats than most people should have because he's been also the community development director and the finance director and the human relations director, and I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but that's a lot. So that hiring process is down the line now. Finance director should be coming on board soon. Community development director, the deadline for applications just closed. And Brett tells me that that will be a very public process, that he intends to go about it in the same manner that one would hire a city manager. He wants to meet and greets and all of that. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think at that point, then we can maybe get to some of these bigger issues where we look at the big picture. One thing that did come up that got really close to the strategic planning idea was in looking at alternatives for the library. So what we're going to look at, we're going to keep the original two options on the table. One was just a gut job of the library itself and renovate the library using either using the basement or not of some sort. The possibility of using the Waldorf / Merwin, either renovating it or salvage demolishing it. And then two new options, Ted Osborne, who's a local architect with a lot of experience in designing for libraries, has some plans he says he has that he's going to share with us for renovating the Merwin and Waldorf and using it as the library. And then also a public-private partnership on Heritage Square that would include a new library along with perhaps offices or housing of some sort on upper floors.
So, you know, I think it would be really important to whatever plan is adopted is to preserve the facade of that hotel,
that arch,
that ancient historic facade. I mean, whether it was just used purely as a facade, I'm thinking of the building that we renovated a couple of years ago after it burned down. But anyway, the building burned down. What's the building?
On Commercial, where the florist is now, and all of those other things. Yeah.
I think burned down, but we were able to salvage the facade.
Right.
And build into it a seismic infrastructure to hold it up.
Right.
And then the interior was built. Now it's got a flower shop and all the other stuff.
Well, of course, all that depends on money.
Money.
Right? Because one of the estimates I've seen is that it would cost $6 million to seismically retrofit it, to put that building in shape before you even made it into whatever you were going to make it into.
Right.
So one of the concerns, and the reason I'm glad we have these now four options for the library, is that these options will be looked at in the context of, if we do this, how will it affect what's going on around it, the other buildings, the other businesses, if there are any. You know, one of the drawbacks to building anew on Heritage Square is, then are we going to leave a block of blight just to the west of City Hall, where you'll have a Waldorf Merwin that may stand empty for another generation? It's been completely empty for 25 years.
Yeah.
Do we want to do that? And then also the library, if we leave the library, what will somebody want it? Can we, or will it also be empty? I think that's an important consideration.
You know, getting back, Cindy, to the strategic plan concept, one thing I've noticed over the years is that various agencies will come up with a strategic plan. Everything looks good. Maybe they'll hire a consultant to come in and help them do it. And then pretty soon, there's a new administrator come in, new elected representatives, and all of a sudden that old strategic plan goes by the wayside, and so they come up with a new one. How do you build some? If the existing council now came up with a strategic plan, how could you build into that some kind of an institutional memory, so that that plan would be more good for more than just 2 to 4 years?
Well, you kind of speak to one of the reasons why we didn't get very far on strategic planning, because everybody has kind of a different idea of what a strategic plan is. I would, if anybody's interested, and Jim, if you're interested, I really recommend that you take a look at the City of Albany's strategic plan. And it doesn't just look at the big vision ideas of let's do this and let's do that. It really looks at what do you do,
mm-hmm.
so that the majority of items that are in there are the everyday things, like you are going to provide police and fire protection at X levels. You know, just basic things.
Well, that's built into the city charter.
It's built into the city charter, but what we don't have, and what would be very useful, I think, is a document that is basically a document of communication. So if people ask you, what does the city do? You can say, this is what the city does. And then for the bigger projects, the visionary projects that do come and go sometimes with city councilors, mm-hmm. or with community development directors or whatever, you can sort of let those flux, but make sure that they're fitting in within the things that a city council must do, its obligations of providing utilities, fire, police, those sorts of things, and that you're doing them in a way that you can actually even monitor them and see how they're doing, review them, have some performance reviews of are you meeting those goals, those sorts of goals as well.
But any of those kind of plans actually would have to be incorporated in the city charter, if I'm understanding you correctly. To do that, it has to go before the voters.
If you were changing the city charter, but you're not going to change the city charter.
Or add to it.
You wouldn't even add to the city charter. You'd be pulling out of it. Our charter is bare bones. You remember? I mean,
yeah,
really,
there's a couple of pages.
It's very little in there. So, I think we could do a good job of it, and I think it would be really helpful for us in making sure that when we decide one thing, it fits in within the other things that we're doing. That's all I want.
You know, we just got a couple of minutes left, but one of the things that's that I've read about that's really intriguing to me is the city's plan to use some of the hydropower that's coming out of our water system to generate electricity to actually run the system.
Yeah, brand new hydroelectric turbine went online just very recently. We had a ribbon cutting ceremony up there earlier this week, and it's going to generate enough electricity to pay for the the water treatment plant and the lab. About $9,000 a year of electric utility cost that will defray. Plus, they're estimating $2,000 to $3,000 that they can sell back to Pacific Power as well. So
yeah, that's way cool.
Yeah.
Now, we've got 2 minutes left,
yes,
and I'd like to leave that kind of open for you, Cindy, so
for it. Well, with just 2 minutes left, I think I'll just give people a heads up on some things that are coming up. On Tuesday, March 10th, the Parks Department is holding another town hall on a dog park, which is a very important issue to a lot of people. It'll be at 6 o'clock at Council Chambers. On the agenda for our March 16th meeting, we're going to get an update on the Riverfront Vision Plan. And also, the Planning Commission has been canceled for March 25th because they didn't have anything on their agenda. But they're going to meet on April 7th to review the amendment to the Riverfront Vision Plan for the Bridge Vista area. This is very important work, so I hope people will come.
Yeah, that's the West End, right?
Yeah, that's the West End, so I hope people will come. And let's see, what else? That's about it. I do encourage people to go to the Planning Commission meetings and Historic Landmark Commission meetings. That's when initial things come before the city. You can get in early on the discussion, on the details of it, before they come to City Council. City Council has a kind of a reluctance to overturn its commission's ruling. So go to those commission meetings and make your voice heard, and please come to City Council.
Cindy Price, thanks a lot for being with us here at Friday on Coast Community Radio. Please stick with us for Albert Smith's always wonderful Friday folk show. And I need to remind our listeners that we have a special concert coming up. I think it's this weekend, isn't it? John Gorka?
Tonight.
John Gorka is an incredible singer-songwriter, very, very popular, and it's his only Oregon appearance this year.
Where is he going to be? At what time?
The Liberty, from 7:30 to 9:30.
Sounds like a
and it's
great
a,
time.
It's KMUN sponsoring it.
Yeah, so profits, if there are any, will go to KMUN as well as Mr. Gorka. So I urge you all to stick around, and talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Good show.